I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from
as
evil.
As dueling pro-Palestinian and pro-Israel demonstrations swelled at Columbia University Wednesday afternoon, the school's president, Manu Shafiq, was sitting before the House Education Committee for 5 hours. The Republican-led committee is accusing the Ivy League institution of mishandling anti-Semitic incidents on campus.
The Senate dismissed impeachment articles against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, brought by House Republicans over his handling of the U.S. border.
Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia introduced two amendments yesterday. The first would fund the development of space laser technology on the southwest border.
Jewish? Is this Jewish space lasers that she talked about?
Just so. The second requires any congressional member who supports the Ukraine portion of the bill to be required to enlist in the Ukrainian military.
If I operated out of fear over a motion to vacate, I would never be able to do my job. I could make a selfish decision and do something that that's different, but I'm doing here what I believe to be the right thing.
That is a remarkable shift for the speaker, who said that aid to Ukraine is critically important right now and that it's something not to play politics with.
Day three of former President Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial. The number of seated jurors is now down to six after Judge Juan Merchan dismissed one of the seven already picked for the panel after she said personal security concerns made her unable to render a fair and impartial verdict.
Do you feel like the people that you were speaking with in that jury room that you sat with all day on Tuesday, that they can put together a fair and impartial jury because of that sense of duty? Do you think that's possible?
I'm not sure about that.
Really, why?
You know, everybody has biases and, you know, stereotypes in their mind. So you have to be a really, you know, deep and, you know, fair person. Which is very hard to do, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily, powered by the folks here at Human Events. We're live, Washington, D.C. Today is April 18th, 2024, Anno Domini. Folks, the Trump trial, Alvin Bragg, Stormy Daniels up in New York City is an absolute debacle. It has been completely erupting over there as multiple jurors, we're now told, have been ejected from the jury. Now, keep in mind, this is different than not being seated. Not being seated means you were called for jury duty and that you went in and you said, or you were struck down, or you said that you couldn't be partial and that you were excused. This is different. These are people who already went through the jury selection process, were signed off by the judge, the prosecutor, and Trump's defense attorney, and seated on that jury. The first one, a nurse, she goes down because she says, I'm worried about having my information released. What are they worried about? What's she really worried about? She's worried that if for some reason she voted to acquit Donald Trump, that the left would come for her because it's New York City. And we know what Antifa does to people they don't like. Next, we find that a guy lied to get on the jury and he was kicked off because he had committed acts of political vandalism against the right. This was a committed leftist activist, an agitator, sounds like an Antifa guy to me, lied his buck us off in order to get on the jury. And then we have this final one. She's giving these interviews to MSNBC, SR, and Fox as well, people who are down there. And she says, that she felt that she couldn't be partial. But then she felt that none of them could be partial. And when she was asked about Donald Trump, she seemed favorable to Donald Trump. And she said she didn't seem quite as orange as he seems on air. He seemed kind of more yellowish, kind of normal. She smiled when they brought up Trump. She seemed favorable to him. So do you get it yet, folks? One side is willing to lie to get on the jury the same way they did in Derek Chauvin's case. The other side is saying they're principled. They're going to take the moral high road, and they're going to tell the judge that they don't want to serve on the jury because that wouldn't be the principled thing to do. Understand what time of the movie we're in. Understand how this works. The side with power will win. The side without it is going down in flames. Be right back. Human events. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
But I got a hankering, a yearning deep inside. For this book called Unhumans, I just can't hide.
All right, folks. Human Events Daily, I want to tell you about the latest sponsor to partner with Human Events Daily. Their name is Chalk. And I'd like to ask you a question. You ever notice what your typical male leftist looks like? I'm talking about the Antifa type who blocks traffic, streaks about social justice, or uses pronouns. They are pale. They are sickly. They're weak. We have a crisis in this country, and it is not toxic masculinity. It's actually the dropping levels of testosterone, low sperm count, and depleted hormones in men. Between the contaminated food supply and sedentary lifestyle, modern technology is promoting men to be even worse shape than ever before. That's why we need the Male Vitality Stack from Chalk. Chalk offers a whole lineup of products formulated to increase your energy, focus, balance, and your hormones, detoxify your body, and boost testosterone. Their products are organic and all natural. This isn't the overpriced vegetable powder. You will feel a difference, and you will have the clinical studies. They have the clinical studies to back it up. Here's how you get in. Go to chalk.com, C-H-O-Q, and use promo code POSO for 22% off any Chalk subscription for life. You can cancel anytime. Chalk is manufactured in the U.S. by patriots on a mission to power the resistance to deep states, to globalists, to big pharma commies. Reclaim your masculinity. Go join the Chalk Nation today. That's chalk.com, chalk.com, promo code POSO. Gavin Wax of the New York City Young Republicans joins us now. Gavin, first of all, congratulations on the bodega visit. And I wanted to ask you, if you had a rough estimate, how much does it cost to put together a crowd of fake Trump supporters, as apparently we're told that you and your friends put together there the other day?
Well, listen, Jack, we all know that I'm a big recipient of George Soros money, so I was able to hire pretty much everyone in West Harlem to show up that day. We paid everyone generously, hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, including to the children. We can't forget the children, many of whom were bribed with candy and snacks to show up, even some treats from the bodega itself. Of course, we want to use our bribes to benefit the community. But all kidding aside,
You, of course, threatened the families of the bodega owners to make sure they could hold the event, right?
Well, no, this was really a hostage situation, what you're seeing. I mean, the smiles aside, I see. This was really a situation where, you know, they were there against their own will. And many of the people who were lining the streets for hours were also there against their own will. But, you know, listen, this is joking aside. We had a great turnout up in Harlem this week. Unexpected, honestly. I mean, the outpouring was over the top. I've said it before. Both sides of Broadway were lined up with people. people, hundreds and hundreds of people stretching several blocks that had been starting to form hours before his arrival. He didn't get there close to 6:30, and I was there around 2:30, and they were already there, predating, you know, me even arriving. And then they filled in the median between the uptown and downtown lanes. They were off to the side streets. I mean, these were very tight shots that we're seeing. You don't really get to see a great sense of the scale of the crowd, the amount of people watching from their windows, from their fire escapes, how far back the crowd goes. So it was honestly a massive success on so many fronts. And it just goes to show that there's real a groundswell of real support for President Trump in Manhattan, even in Upper Manhattan, in a very Democrat area, Dominican area, that has actually trended rightward since 2016 for President Trump. These are working class Dominicans that predominantly live in this area, and they're sick of the crime, they're sick of the corruption, and they're honestly looking for a real leader. And that guy is President Donald J. Trump, who spoke to them and who got their, you know, got their attention when he showed up unexpectedly on Tuesday.
You know, we mentioned the other day here on the show, and you and I hadn't chatted about this, that I had kind of just thrown out sort of like, well, if Trump's got to be in town, he should hold many rallies. I said he should do stuff at Trump Tower. Obviously, you and I have talked before about Madison Square Garden, but has this become a strategy with Trump's team? Did they reach out to you, or was this something really just spur of the moment that sort of came up that day?
Well, we certainly have been pitching a lot of different ideas. This was definitely one of the top ones. Obviously, for people that don't know, this was the bodega for Jose, where Jose Alba used to work. He was another victim of Alvin Bragg's, you know, anarcho tyrannical, you know, district attorney's office, who, you know, chooses to prosecute law-abiding citizens defending themselves rather than the many criminals that roam the streets of New York with rap sheets going back decades. So this was very symbolic in many ways. But yes, I mean, we pitched this. We insisted it be uptown, and there's many other ideas going through the system right now that, you know, we could really take advantage of New York City, which is in many ways a microcosm of the U.S.
So I want to just pin that down for a second. You're telling me that it looks like more of these, call them what you will, mini rallies, micro rallies are in the works.
Absolutely. I think there's a few that we're working on. I don't want to lean in too much with all the details, but I can assure you a lot of other great potential ideas across the five boroughs have been pitched and are being, thought on. And, I think with the success that we just saw on Tuesday, the massive, outpouring of support, the press, the media coverage, everything, I think it goes to show that, you know, he's not going to be isolated in New York for the duration of the trial, the 6 to 8 weeks, that New York City is a microcosm. A lot of the issues that are talked about nationally, whether it's the migrant issue, whether it's crime, corruption, whatever it may be, you can talk to those issues right here in New York City, in one of the largest media market in the country. So I think this is a brilliant way to maneuver around this show trial, this kangaroo court, and take the most advantage of his time here in the city, where it's not being, it's not being wasted, and new voters can be reached, and messages and sentiments can be expressed to a national audience, even if it is a neighborhood in the upper parts of Manhattan or in Queens or in Brooklyn or wherever it ends up being.
Now, you mentioned the courtroom, and I've taken some pains. I tweeted this earlier. I'm not calling this a kangaroo court because I think that would be offensive to kangaroos. This is a situation where, Gavin, and let me ask you specifically about this side of it, and this is so important. So we had a leftist thrown off the jury earlier today after it was found that he had lied on his questionnaire, that he had lied to the judge, lied to the court, had directly committed perjury and said that he was unbiased when in fact he had been arrested for participating in political vandalism against the right. And I'm like, sounds like an Antifa guy to me. So you have this guy, I'm going to call him Antifa juror, gets on the jury, is found out, kicked off, will not face any legal repercussions for this. And yet you have principled jurors, people who potentially are favorable to Trump, saying, no, I couldn't possibly go on that jury because I'm favorable. Gavin, who wins in such a situation?
Well, the whole system is so topsy-turvy. It's so absolutely comical. You have a judge and a prosecution working together on the same team to basically get Trump. I mean, I was recently, a few months back trying going through a jury selection process, and it was a murder trial. And I was asking questions, that a juror should ask while I was on the bench. I made it all the way to the bench stage. And I was saying, well, who was this guy in gangs? Was he involved in drugs, things like that? And the second I showed any sense of being someone who would have been skeptical about this potential criminal and showing some sense that I'm interested in the actual facts of the case, they totally threw me off. Obviously, they knew that I would be someone who would have probably voted to convict just based on basic facts. But it just goes to show that they are working this court. They are working this case ruthlessly, and they're not leaving any stone unturned. They are going to sniff out someone who's not even a Trump supporter, just someone who could potentially, theoretically, maybe be somewhat unbiased. It's such a low threshold, and it just shows that they're that scared.
Let me sneak in, and we'll set aside for a second that you were almost a juror in Vicious Trial, as I hear that that conservatives though would not do something like this. Conservatives, and particularly Republicans, would say, oh, I'm too principled. I couldn't possibly serve on this jury. I'm going to walk away. There was a guy who ran a Second Amendment blog who did this during the Kyle Rittenhouse jury selection. I'll never forget this. He said, I support the Second Amendment too much. I couldn't possibly be on this jury. And I'm like, this is a show trial. This isn't a real trial. This isn't an actual legal test. There's no immoral act here. Here's what you do, folks. You get on the jury, you do whatever it takes, and then you do whatever it takes. I'm just going to say it, and I hope Media Matters clips this. Sabotage the trial. Get on the jury and sabotage the trial. But Gavin, and I'm not going to ask you that far, but why won't conservatives think like this?
Look, I think it's a very deep-rooted psychology and culture that, we have on the American right. And, we're just not as ruthless and vicious as the other side. I mean, they are, religious fanatics in many ways in how they approach their political ideology. Philosophy, and they're willing to cross any line, any red line, any cultural or societal norm to effectuate their own ends and seize power. And it's a top,
of which the trial itself
up,
is
it's
one.
A top down approach. Say that
of
again.
Which the trial itself of which the trial itself is one is against the line and against the rules. 1 minute
Correct.
Left, final minute, Gavin Wax, and we'll hold you over to the next one.
No, listen, I think this entire situation is a complete disgrace. We're spitting on the face of millions of Americans who once held these institutions in high regard, and they're destroying the entire fabric of the country, our entire society, all the trust we once had, all the national cohesion we once had, because they are so scared politically of one man and one man alone. That's President Donald J. Trump. And, if there's a white pill to be gained from this, it's that they're so scared that they're going to basically throw the entire kitchen sink at him, which is what they're doing. I mean, this case has no merit. They're prosecuting him on a novel legal theory that's never been tested before, where there is no victim, where they're accusing him of a conspiracy to further an underlying crime, which there is no underlying crime. They haven't exactly stated what it is. So the entire, and even if you accept their fact patterns, it's past the statute of limitations. So the entire thing is a mockery of our justice system. It's a national disgrace and it's embarrassment. And I hope it ends as soon as this thing, starts.
Amen.
Basically.
Right back in a second. Gavin Wax, New York City.
And a mystery, the hidden tales of the communist history. I want to know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. Pre-order in line.
All right, folks, we're back. Human Events Daily. Look, folks, the trial is a mess. The world is in flames. Bidenomics is a complete and total disaster. But that will not ruin my day. Do you know why? Because I start every day with a hot America First cup of Blackout Coffee. This coffee is 100% Americana. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, I love the stuff. Tanya Tay and myself, we just got a new box set. My dad has been drinking it. He's drinking us out of house and home. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/poso. Dad, you should go to blackoutcoffee.com/poso and use promo code POSO20 for 20% off your next order so you're not drinking all of mine. And Mom, look, I know Mother's Day is next month, so I'm going to tell you right now, it's never too soon to give mom and those close to your heart the gift of being awake, not woke, with Blackout Coffee. That's blackoutcoffee.com/poso, blackoutcoffee.com/poso, promo code POSO20. We're on now with Gavin Wax, and I have a statement, and I'm going to ask him a question. The statement is this. It is not immoral to sabotage a communist show trial. In fact, sabotaging a communist show trial is the most moral thing you can do. Crash the trial. Sabotage the jury. Now, I don't mean go after the jurors directly. I'm going to be very clear about that. But what I'm saying is if you have the ability to get on that jury, I'm talking about the JN. The big JN, that's right, jury nullification. Jury nullification is what I'm talking about. Gavin Wax, why is it, why is it that conservatives would not think to embrace something like this?
Listen, I think a vast majority of conservatives, and this is reflected in the elected politicians and the party officials of the Republican Party, they just don't have that same fight. They're more go along to get along, and they don't think in the same sort of mindset as the left. They don't understand the time we're living in. They don't understand the stakes. They don't understand that we're not living in the same country as we were maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago, that we've really lost a ton of ground to the left institutionally, and they are not afraid to use that power to get what they want by any means necessary. So until we start to wake up and understand the times we're living in, we're going to have a situation where the left continues to run roughshod over us. And, you know, we constantly talk about the hypocrisy. We talk about what if the shoe is on the other foot? And, you know, I can't believe that they would do this. This is not constitutional. And it's like they don't care about these things. They only understand raw, unadulterated power. And unless you're willing to be reciprocal and reciprocate in the levels of Machiavelli in maneuvering and political knife fighting, you're never going to see them back down because they understand that they could push the envelope so far and there's no repercussion. There's not going to be any pushback because they know Republicans and conservatives writ large are thinking of themselves too high and mighty for that. But politics is a blood sport. We need to recognize it as such. And if we really want to change the course of the country and the course of our society, we need to be willing to fight for keeps rather than just pontificate on, you know, the theories of political philosophy and how things should be and how things ought to be rather than how things are and how we can actually in a pragmatic way move ourselves forward.
Right. And instead, what do? We get people who, when they're actually put on the line, when they're actually called to duty, like Speaker Mike Johnson, what instead do we have? We have cowardice. We have compromise. We have total collapse. And I got blasted early on for being skeptical of this guy. And I said, look, when's the last time Louisiana gave us a... Actually, Gavin, I know you know the answer to this. When's the last time Louisiana gave us a serious, hardcore politician?
Oh, Huey Long, the great Huey Long, was
Boom.
The last great
of course.
Politician out of the state of Louisiana.
Precisely. Listen, and Mike Johnson is like the entire, like he's like the polar opposite in terms of, I guess, in terms of constitution, personal constitution here, not U.S. Constitution, but in terms of constitution for Huey Long, like this bow tie wearing guy out of Louisiana, he's going to be the one to fight the deep state. No, of course he compromises. He doesn't do anything on the border. And then all of a sudden, we did the whole show on this yesterday, but it bears repeating. He told us that we would not have one penny for Ukraine until we got the border taken care of. And what did he do? The first chance he got, he caved. And I guess, Gavin, I'm not even really that surprised because, look, we've seen this a million times.
No, listen, it's very interesting. I mean, you know, I'm reading the 1,000-page biography of Huey Long, and he dealt with individuals just like Mike Johnson in the Louisiana legislature at the time. And, you know, you don't have to necessarily agree with every position, every policy that someone like a Long supported, but you have to respect the ability for them to get what they want, to maneuver what they want, to reward their constituents and punish their enemies. And if you don't understand that very simple maxim, you're never going to get far in politics as a political movement. And if your entire philosophy of politics comes down to going along to get along, surrendering at every step, and giving your enemies what they want and punishing your friends, then of course you're always going to be defeated. You're always going to be on the back foot, and you're always going to be caught with your pants down, which has been the Republican Party, you know, for the last several decades prior to President Trump. So we need some new leadership across the board. I was sort of not even necessarily on the same page with you. I was open to Mike Johnson. I was supportive of the efforts to remove McCarthy and all the rest, and I gave him the benefit of the doubt, and I have become increasingly more disappointed as time has gone on. And we have now lost more seats since that's happened, you know, by our own doing, and we're not getting as much done as we should, and we're folding on very key issues from FISA to Ukraine and all the rest. So it's pathetic, and it just goes to show that, you know, we need to hold all these Republicans their feet to the fire, because it's not enough to simply win elections. And it's not enough to simply have majorities, because we have so many snakes in the grass. We have, you know, this other front that we're not talking about. We talk about the left, but we don't talk about the controlled opposition of Con Inc. and the Rhino Republican establishment. They're almost as dangerous, if not worse, than the radical left, because they're the wolves in sheep's clothing. They pretend to be your friends, and they're the ones stabbing you in the back and throwing you on the pyre. So, you know, it's a tough situation right now, but I would love if we had some ruthless, you know, power, you know, people that understand power and political dynamics. Listen, I was recently in Congress watching a session from the upper deck, you know, the observatory, and I saw Nancy Pelosi holding court, this old, you know, timid looking woman, not really timid, but, you know, she's frail. She's not a physically imposing person. And she was running, you know, all over her colleagues, throwing her fists around, throwing her finger at people, demanding things, you know, getting in their face. I watched it in person, and I looked at the Republican side of the aisle. I didn't see anyone with that sort of, you know, that sort of power, that sort of presence, you know, whipping votes on our side. I saw Nancy Pelosi, who was just basically dominating her end of the chamber. And it was just something, you know, so visceral and physical about it that we don't have anything on that side. We have this milquetoast, timid sort of approach to politics. And at best, we'll get the theatrics. Oh, you know, we're going to do a hearing. We're going to do a Trey Gowdy style thing. And, you know, all these clips are going to be great for fundraising, and then do nothing. And then you have the left, you have the Nancy Pelosi's, who are, you know, breaking skulls and taking names and getting what they want. And, you know, that's history.
I mean, I just can't believe this. And this is, I was going to read to you from Politico Playbook. It's very tight. And it just, and so Politico, this is like the end. Playbook has gone super left. Raheem was tweeting about this earlier. And it goes, so it talks about the first juror who left. So we've gone from 7 jurors down to 5. The first juror who leaves says that she was worried about being identified. The second one, though, and then here's the second paragraph. Another juror was dismissed after lawyers raised questions about whether he'd been truthful about his criminal history. Though Mershon didn't provide details of the court's conversations with him, the juror indicated to reporters afterward that he disregarded the dismissal. They don't even tell you that it was a committed leftist. Politico Playbook, like the most careful language you could even find, didn't even admit what it was. Didn't even tell you right there. I mean, Gavin, this is like, it just goes to show you, I guess, there's one side in this country that's deeply committed to power and to winning and is willing to go so far as to put the president of the United States and the leading candidate to be the next president of the United States on communist show trial for it, and another one who doesn't. But I mean, look, I don't understand this. That like yes, you're gonna have to get your hands dirty if you want to beat communism, and it's as simple as that. Gavin Wax, you're a guy who's not afraid to get his hands dirty.
Well, thank you. And listen, I mean, if all these people want to, you know, claim that, you know, they're holier than thou and they're the self-righteous Christians, then why are they in politics to begin with? I just don't buy it.
If you're really, yes.
if you're working up the political ladder, if you've been in D.C. your whole life, don't give me this stupid shtick that, oh, you know, my Christian, you know, ethics forbade me from doing these things. Please, we know what you're doing behind the scenes. We know it's an act. We know it's theatrics. We know that you're willing to, you know, do whatever you need to do to get your own money, to line your own pockets, to do your insider trading, to do favors for your donor buddies and your corporate buddies. You could do all that. But then when the people, your own constituents, you know, the average Joe on the street is asking you to fight against this politicized witch hunt, is asking you to fix the border, is asking you not to send their tax money to Ukraine, then all of a sudden you have all these excuses. Oh, you know, I can't do this. We can't fight that way. We can't be that aggressive. That's not proper. I mean, give me a break. Listen, don't hate me or you for being the messenger for describing accurately the state of the country and the state of our political system and our judicial system and our legal system, for that matter. You know, we're just explaining what's in front of our eyes, that it's all gone to crap and it's all been politicized. It's all corrupt and it's not worth a damn anymore. And we would like to fix it by some means. Maybe you don't agree with the means, but at least recognize the problem. But the problem is that most of these conning pundits and their associated, you know, Republican elected officials, they don't even want to recognize that we have a problem. They pretend that all of this is above board, that this case is totally legitimate, that, you know, that President Trump is egregiously, you know, violated several statutes and the law.
Gavin,
we're running
up on our break. You must have hit the bodega this morning, man, because absolutely en fuego. Where can people follow you, man?
Thank you. I definitely got my chopped cheese at the bodega this morning. You can follow me at Gavin Wax on X, Instagram, Facebook, and all the rest, GavinWax.com. Thank you for having me, Jack.
God bless, man, and I'll see you next week. All right, Jack Posobiec back live here, Human Events Daily. I want to switch gears for a second because there's an organization we mentioned briefly a couple of weeks ago here on the show, and I wanted to get them on to find out more information because people are asking constantly, what can I do to get more active? And I know we talk about the importance of being active. And in fact, we had Dr. Taylor Marshall on here yesterday, and we specifically talked about the importance of Christians becoming active Christians, and saying that you can no longer simply be a passive Christian where you say your grace before meals and you go to church on Sunday and that's it. You know, that's it. You know, I gave it the office, right? No, you must become active Christians. And there are ways to actually do things in your personal life and locally that can have a huge impact. And our next guest is someone who's absolutely done something like that. And then some. His name is Joel Penton, and he is with the organization LifeWise, LifeWise Academy. Joel, tell me about LifeWise Academy and how did it come to be?
Yeah, well, thank you for thanks for the opportunity. LifeWise, we provide Bible education to public school students during school hours, which sounds...
Whoa, what? Yep. You're blowing my mind here. How are you not in handcuffs?
Exactly. That is typically the response. People hear that. They say, how could that be? What about the separation of church and state? The Bible was taken out of the school day long, long ago. But what few people realize is that around the time the Bible and prayer were systematically removed from public schools, a window of opportunity was opened. In 1952, the Supreme Court ruled that public school students can, in fact, be released from public school during school hours to receive religious instruction if the program is off school property, privately funded, and students have parental permission. However, this Supreme Court ruling, this opportunity called released time religious instruction, has kind of just been under the radar for the last 70 years. In 2019, we learned about it, started a program, and we provide the tools for communities to take advantage of this opportunity. And today we're serving over 300 schools across more than a dozen states. Over 31,000 students are enrolled today.
And so Walk me through the mechanics of something like this. Now, do you receive state funding for this? You're a private organization. The students at that point, you know, who's covering them, basically?
Yeah, it is a private organization, totally funded through private donations and local communities. It's kind of a grassroots effort. We provide the tools, but local communities come together. They form a committee, then they form a board, and they find the teachers, but they host this program. Families don't pay anything. Students don't pay anything. Schools don't pay anything. The local community raises the money and provide the Bible education program for their local public school students, again, during the school day.
So they can pay during the school day. And then, so how do they find out? So let's say you're at a school. They hear about this. Does someone have to get, do you have to get approval for the school board? Is that the way it comes in?
Yeah, it varies from school to school and it varies from state to state, but we've outlined a 10-step process communities can follow. First, communities gather signatures through our website, kind of a petitioning process. You can find any school district on our website. We like to see at least 50 signatures in a particular school district that says, yes, we want this program in our community. And then we walk them through a process of forming a steering committee, putting together a plan, and that plan is then taken to the public school, and we have a conversation with them. What would this look like in this community? What grades would we serve? What school buildings? Where would we start? When would we start? And 93% of the time, the school agrees. Over 90% of the time, the school says, yeah, let's try this. And that's why today we're serving hundreds of schools, thousands of students, and we would love to serve really every school district nationwide.
Now, this is incredible. Throw out, what is it? Is it lifewise.com?
Yeah, it's lifewise.org. That's LIFEWISE.org. And again, you can find any school district in the nation. And you can learn more. You can watch videos. You can see the curriculum. But more than anything, we'd love for everyone to engage in their own community.
Well, this is so incredible. How many states do you operate in now?
So today we are in 13 states. We are in about 330 schools, but we're confirmed already for next year in 20 states, nearly 500 schools. And that includes places where you would expect this to happen, you know, like rural Northwest Ohio, where I'm from, but it's also in some of the largest cities. I mean, we're confirmed in Los Angeles, California for next year. We're confirmed in Washington State, really all over.
Wait. You're in LA. You got to tell me that story.
Well, I mean, LA, that's the thing. The Supreme Court has ruled on this. It is constitutional. That's one of the best parts about it. It sounds controversial, but it's really not. It's not new. It's decades old. It's not controversial. The law is very clear. And so even in the state of California, they have a law on the books that's in line with the Supreme Court ruling. And so we had a team in LA that heard about LifeWise. They came together, went to the public school, and the school said, sure, because the truth is that school administrators know that the students are hurting. They know that students need something in their lives. And when the community comes and says, here's a legal way that we can come alongside the school, serve students, invest in their lives, again, almost without exception, schools are saying, let's do it.
And this is amazing. Now, when you get schools that say that they want to do it, are you finding that is it more because of the strength of the program on its educational merits? Is it because of the religious merits? How does that usually go?
Yeah, well, the schools, they know that they have a crisis of character. They know that behavior in the classroom is an issue. They know that things like chronic absenteeism is an issue. Decades of studies show that students that have religious education in their lives, they excel in academics, they excel in behavior. And now we have independent studies that we can show to schools that say, hey, look, here's a third party independent study that shows when LifeWise, our organization, is introduced into a school, attendance goes up significantly, in school and out of school suspensions go down. Again, we explain that the school doesn't have to pay anything. When they hear these stats, they know it's going to serve the school. And so just the merits of, even if they're not Christians, just the merits of the behavioral improvements that they'll see, they're excited.
And that's huge. That's absolutely Huge. What about the time frame of that? So you've got to get, you know, obviously the students leave. Is this like one class? Is it a couple of classes, hour, a couple of hours? How does that work?
Yeah, great
I'm
question.
So and I have little kids.
Yeah, well, we'd love to work with you in your community. So the way it works is in the same way that elementary school students receive art class once a week and music class once a week. These are often called specials. Now they can receive a Bible class once a week. And so we work with the school to incorporate it into the schedule so that one or two classrooms at a time tend to be released. And we have volunteers that either pick them up in one of our large, you know, red buses. We have over 100 of those now. They'll bus them down the road or they'll walk them across the street if there's a church across the street. And so each student on a rotation can attend LifeWise one time per week.
And that's incredible. So is the red bus, that's an OSU thing, isn't it?
well, I did get a chance to play for the Buckeyes back in the day, played a little defensive line. And I don't know, maybe I'm partial to red because of the Buckeyes, but I think that the bright red, a bit of the gold, I think it speaks to the joy. It speaks to the fun. You know, kids see the big red bus coming and they get excited because they're going to go hear about the most joyful and most exciting story ever told, the story of Jesus.
Amen. I mean, and you have to, you have to admit as well, of course, obviously the classic school bus color is yellow. So you want a color, number one, that's going to stand out. That's why they chose yellow for school buses. But with red, it stands out. It's a primary color. So you're going to get kids interested. But then it's also something where kids say, hey, this is something a little bit different. It's a little bit special. And it's a way to do something which is just incredible. Can you hang on? I'd love to hold you for another segment. I'm so fascinated.
Absolutely.
By this.
Let's do it.
All right, Joel Penton, it's lifewise.org. I want everyone to go in all in on this. This is amazing. This is what I'm talking about, people. A positive vision for how our future, our country should work. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
The hidden tales of the communist history. I want to know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. Pre-ordering LifeCube. Can't wait to get my hands on that book. Far, but I got a hankering, a yearning deep inside. For this book called Unhumans, I just can't hide.
Jack, we're back live, Human Events Daily. We're speaking with Joel Penton, who runs LifeWise Academy. It's really causing a lot of consternation over with the folks at NBC and MSNBC, because what Joel Penton's offering is a way to actually bring prayer and the Bible back into schools, but not into schools, maybe next to schools, getting it back to the students where it belongs. Joel, tell me about some of the attacks that you guys have faced recently.
Well, since the beginning, you know, we are providing Bible education to public school students during school hours. And certainly there's a segment of our society that just doesn't like that. There are people who don't like the Bible, they do not like the gospel, and so they do not want it getting to public school students. However, recently, I guess, you know, we're making enough of a stir, and we have seen rapid expansion across the country. We got the attention of NBC and MSNBC, and so they contacted us. They asked if they could send a whole film crew to Columbus, Ohio, where we are based, to tour some of our programs, and we welcomed them in with open arms, assuming they were working up a hit piece, and we were recently on NBC Nightly News, and then and which was fine. The most comical thing, though, was MSNBC, because I honestly thought it was a Saturday Night Live sketch, the way it was just a caricature, and there was the host was literally wringing her hands and saying it was distressing to learn that so many public school students are studying the Bible. It was really something to behold.
And that just tells you everything right there. That tells you not only the power of the Bible, but it tells you something about how MSNBC sees themselves. They want to be and we could have a much deeper conversation about this, but they want to be the moral judges of society, and they do not like the idea that we go back to the old moral judge of society, who was God and guided by our Christian moral code. And this was the Christian moral code that up until about the 1960s was the basic set of morals everywhere in the United States for 250 years at this point. I keep saying this, we were a Christian majority nation when we were founded. We remain a Christian majority nation today. We've always been a Christian majority nation. The problem that they have is when people go from being passive Christians to active Christians. Can you walk me through a little bit more? Because, and I just want to reiterate this, that because it's a very new concept, this idea that public school students could actually be receiving Bible education during school hours. How is that legal?
Yeah, great question. So it's new to nearly everybody. It's fairly new to me. I mean, I just learned about it several years ago. But the truth is, in 1952, around the time Bible and prayer were being taken out of school, there was a Supreme Court case called Zorach versus Clausen, where the Supreme Court ruled that public school students can be released from public school during the school day to receive religious instruction, but it has to be off school property, can't be in the school, has to be privately funded, no state tax dollars, and students have to have parental permission. You can't force a kid to do this. However, it just hasn't been utilized. It's challenging to do because you got to find a place to do it. You got to find transportation. You got to figure out curriculum and funding. And that's why we exist. In 2019, we started this program, LifeWise Academy, where we provide all the tools and systems and infrastructure so that any community in the country can hit the ground running, can start a program to serve their local students. And oftentimes, we will have upwards of 50%, sometimes over 90% of the entire school will enroll in the program because it's during school hours. Why wouldn't you want to leave school and study the Bible? So we have huge participation. That's one of the reasons NBC and MSNBC are kind of freaking out so much. They came to Columbus, Ohio and visited one of our inner city programs and saw that 50% of the entire school in the inner city is leaving during the day to go study the Bible, and it causes them distress.
Take up space. Take up space. This is something my good friend, Dr. Taylor Marshall, he's been saying that for years. He was on here yesterday and saying it. That's exactly what you're doing. You're taking up space. Let me ask you, you know, kind of a personal question. You knew this would be controversial when you got into it. There's lots of other ways that you can go and do something with the Bible and start organizations. You knew what you would be up against. Why did you choose to make that fight anyway, specifically for school students?
Well, my life changed when I was a freshman in high school. That's when I heard the gospel. That's when my life changed and I was born again. And I know there's an ocean of kids out there who've not heard the gospel message, who are not familiar with the Bible, and they need to be reached. Somebody needs to take the message to them. And the controversy doesn't bother me at all. Like I said, I played college football, so confrontation is not something I shy away from. And I've, ever since I came to faith, I've wanted to preach the gospel in the places where people need it the most. I mean, that's what's exciting. Those are the people who need it. And so I spent years traveling and speaking, and, you know, I received my fair share of hate just from being someone who would stand up and speak and share the word of God. But if you read your Bible, that's what you're going to expect. I mean, Jesus says as much. And so who am I to shy away from this opportunity to share the word of God with those who need it most?
Amen. Hey, they have drag queens. We have the King of Kings. Joel Penton, where can people go to get you? You can use that as your new slogan. Maybe not, though. Where can people go to follow this? I really want everyone to go. LifeWise Academy, this is an incredible organization. I want to have you back on the show. I need to do more with you guys. This is incredible. Where can people go to get involved, to support it? And if they want something like this, because we got a ton of people who listen, if they want this in their area, how can they do it? Where do they go to get started?
no matter where you are, no matter who you are, you can get involved, even if that's simply signing your local, what we call community interest list, to voice your support, to say, we want this here. You go to lifewise.org. That's our website. That's what's on the screen right now, lifewise.org. Click find your school and look up the school district, either where you live, where you work, where you worship, anywhere you have a vested interest, and add your name to the list. You can find out if there's already a movement. You can get plugged in. We'd love to work with you.
Lifewise.org, lifewise.org. Absolutely solid. Do the right thing. We will not be defined by what we are against. We will be defined by what we are for. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay a short.